I'm Tommy Gimler. The Colts, Ravens, Seahawks, and Saints are all 0-2. So are the Bears, but even my retarded Uncle Mike saw that one coming. We'll take our best guess at which of these teams still has a shot at the postseason and which of these teams are like Justin Bieber in that they are absolute turds.
Hi, I'm Andy Ostroff, and two TCU football players beat the piss out of a kid and then stole his case of Keystone Light. That really happened. It's true.
And I'm the fabulous T-Shawn, and no news is good news, but this isn't that kind of show.
The Daily Upper-Decker, nothing but sports and crap.
All right, guys, welcome back. It's
Fabulous T-Shawn's here.
It's a happy show yet a sad show. Like, I'm happy to be back together with you guys, but
yeah.
Until he comes back here or until I go out to New York to do the show, this is Andy Ostroff's final show.
Probably the final bummer, one, man.
Of 2015, right?
Probably.
Unless Infernal 2 is in the
works. Infernal 2 is in the works, yeah.
We'll get you back out there. Wait, you died in that one.
I did, but you never know with the occult, sir.
Infernal 2, down below.
Down below.
Yeah, maybe
Up above. Maybe
you would come back as a demon.
Maybe. It'd be pretty sweet. Get to wear a latex suit.
You guys know Blumhouse Productions? The people that bring you like the paranormal
Saw?
Activity.
Oh, yeah, Insidious. Of course.
Insidious. They didn't do Saw.
Whatever.
But you don't know shit, Andy. But yeah, I could name drop there. I do know that that fellow there. So I
do
could,
it. Drop
could,
a name,
I could
sir.
Keep your L.A. career alive.
Yeah, and I actually knew a girl who saw Paranormal Activity.
I saw it.
All right, let's jump on into the hot mess,
dude.
Guys.
Paranormal Activity, the sickest Ouija board ever.
It's the hot mess.
The hot mess.
All right, guys, nine teams are off to a pig shit awful 0-2 start to the 2015 NFL season. Just 23 of the 204 teams that have started 0-2 since 1990 have made the postseason. One of those teams was last year's Indianapolis Colts. Started 0-2 and then went on to the AFC Championship game. T-Shawn, you remember that. So that means other teams like the Ravens and Seahawks, they all have an 11% chance of doing it. So I ask you guys, who will make the postseason? And like a kid born with Downs, who has absolutely no shot?
I will say that
everyone just everything stunned by the Downs joke. It's a little early in the show for a Downs syndrome joke, isn't
everything
it?
Everything you're saying is leaving us speechless tonight already. That's amazing.
That's good. We're going to make it a memorable one.
I mean, look at it. The Colts have a fantastic shot to make the postseason because look at their division. Jaguars 1-1, Titans 1-1, Texans 0-2, Colts 0-2. I mean, come on, you can win that division with 8 wins.
If you would have told me that the Raiders were going to be 1-1 and the Colts are going to be 0-2 at this point, basically the entire
a lot of people said the Colts would win the Super Bowl this year.
Right, they were definitely one of the top 4 favorites.
You're full of shit.
I don't buy that. I think the Colts actually look like a kind of a bad team.
They do.
Like, I mean, obviously not winning indicates they're not playing that well, but like just overall, I just don't even see where their improvements are going to be made. Like, their line is still terrible. It was terrible last year, really. Mm-hmm.
But they got Andrew Luck, who's a great player.
But he's a great player, but I mean, it's sort of.
But do you know that only Jay Cutler has? I think Jay Cutler has thrown only 2 more interceptions, or has only turned the ball over 2 more times than Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
Since Andrew Luck has been in the league, and that really blew me away. Because we all know how I feel about Jay Cutler.
But that's how Elway started back on you know, when the Broncos, they obviously top pick. He's, it's not a good team, and so it took him a little while, and he didn't start right off the bat as Weird Beard Man did.
I think that this year, like if you looked at the Colts last year when they were 0-2, they lost by a touchdown in Denver. Opening week, it was 31-24. So they got off to a slow start, then they came fighting back. So there was
lost the Jets by 21-7.
It was 20-7, but that game was more like it was like 42-0.
They were not in the game
ever. It was even when they were within a field goal, it was still like, man, they still are like 14 points behind these guys. I mean, they look terrible. They honestly, through two games, they look like one of the worst teams in the league.
Who looks even worse and could probably still make the playoffs? The Eagles.
Ah, you're right.
They're
they look
shit division
two. Let me take that back. The Indianapolis
the
Colts look like
fucked.
The second worst team in all of football.
The Eagles look like this is my favorite stat on the Eagles. Okay, ready? DeMarco Murray, last year's leading rusher, is on pace to rush for 88 yards this year.
Yeah, I know.
That's outstanding.
For the season. Yeah, yeah. He can't go forward. Yeah, he cannot move forward.
I don't know.
What does he have, 16 rushing yards?
Some bullshit like that.
He got like 11.
No, 11. Yeah, that's terrible math by me. 88 rushing yards. Yeah, it'd be 11. See what happens? Karma's a bitch. You make a couple of Down syndrome jokes, and all of a sudden basic like sixth grade math goes out the window.
Yeah, but
here.
You got that strength still, Tommy.
All right, so let's look at like the Colts, right? So you were saying that the Colts, because they play in such a shitty division.
I also said the Eagles play in a shitty division too.
Right,
they both do, but they just don't, honestly, the old eye test does not indicate to me that like those other teams are just playing scrappier and are like perhaps overachieving a little. Like the fact that, you know, like the Titans started off with a fucking victory is crazy to me.
Right.
Well,
despite
the
fact that it was against
the
Tampa Bay,
Bucks,
yeah.
Man.
But I mean, if you look at if you would have told me right now that they would have been that the Colts would have been 1-1, like they go into Buffalo. Buffalo's an improved team this year. Their defense is amazing. Like what they've been doing to some of the top offenses over like their last five or six games, I could see them losing that game. I just didn't see them losing it as badly as they did. I mean, they only lost by 13 points, but. It was one of those games where it was never close.
Different losses are of different quality, right? So, yeah, for them, they look like they are not good.
And now they still have on their schedule 0-2. They should have beaten the New York Jets. I don't care who's on their defense, and whether or not, yeah, they have Brandon Marshall along with Eric Decker, and their rushing game is good. Whatever, you still need to win that game at home.
Backup quarterback.
Correct.
Technically.
So you still have games on the schedule for the Colts at Houston, against New England, at Carolina, against Denver, at Atlanta, who's able to win games.
Yeah.
At Pittsburgh, against Houston at home, at Miami.
They might never win.
Yeah, but saying that they're going to win 10 games?
I don't think they will. No,
that's a long shot now.
Didn't I take their under?
Did you take their under? I don't know. We'll have to get Rakish on it to go back.
We'll have to get Rakish.
Yeah. And looking at, maybe the Ravens might, but they're in a tougher division. But I just
the Ravens
think
look like shit.
The Seahawks also are.
The
not.
Raiders threw for like 850 yards on them.
Well, the Ravens are also injured beyond belief too.
Yeah. I don't care if you're
not as bad as the Cowboys.
When
who
Rakish
2-0. Well, look at this. Also, the Cowboys are probably right now, because they're so hurt, they're probably the worst 2-0 team in the league.
Yes, agreed.
Okay, but they are 2-0, plus they're 2-0 in the conference.
Yeah.
In the NFC East, when the winner of that division has 8 wins.
Yeah,
at the end
eight
of
or
the
nine.
Season.
Yeah, nine max. Yeah.
And speaking of that division, so the Giants were obviously supposed to be better
step.
As well, right? Like the offense was supposed to be extra.
Well, if they didn't
this year,
the Giants
like,
are shit. They are such shit.
They don't look good either.
Well, Giants are great at
they
looking good.
Won,
at the
they could have won both of those games.
Yeah,
if they didn't have a kid with
up.
Downs playing quarterback, they could have won both of those games.
Yeah, he told the running back not to score.
It's awful. So out of out of the 9 teams who are off to an 0-2 start, who do you think has a chance to go to the postseason? I will say the Seahawks still.
Yes.
The Seahawks have looked not good, but they
might
haven't
not,
looked
though,
as,
because if
as pig shit
stays,
awful as
if
the
if Carson
ones.
Palmer stays healthy, they won't win that division.
Well, I'm not saying like Rakish picked the St. Louis Rams to win that division, which looked like a great pick week one.
Lost the Redskins.
Who are the other 0-2s?
You have the Saints.
The Eagles.
They're done.
I think
they're
the
done, by
done,
the way.
Yeah,
so you ask a Saints fan. A Saints fan's gonna be like, "Who dat in front of us in the standings this year?" It's like everybody.
Yeah, everybody.
You are done. You need to clean house there and start over.
Yeah,
I think. Okay, so here we go. Not in. I'm saying the Ravens not in. The Colts not in. Seahawks not in. So far,
you don't think the Seahawks are going?
I don't think so. I think the other teams are too much better in their division.
If right, the Ravens,
Palmer
Ravens 0-2.
If Carson
Texans,
Palmer gets hurt, which he has an 85% chance of doing,
they're out
the good. Seahawks will get in.
I'm going to go with the percentages. I'm going to say none of the teams are going to make it.
Oh, I like that.
Wow.
0-9.
0-2? The 0-2 Texans. They've got a quarterback who, when he's down 14 points, comes in and shoves it. Did you see that? Brian Mallett
like,
comes in and does the Cam Newton, and he's still down like
man.
A touchdown.
Did he really?
With 40 seconds left.
I didn't see that. And I like Ryan Mallett. He's just an idiot.
Yeah.
He's got the tools, man. And he's a tool.
Not upstairs. All right, so Houston Texans, you're saying no.
No.
New York Giants, Philadelphia Eagles, no.
No.
I think the Eagles, maybe.
Lions, Bears.
Actually,
they can figure it out.
That's the one problem, because that means – That means the Redskins win that division, if I'm saying. Well, I guess the
Cowboys are already 2-0 in that division.
I'm going to stick with it. I'm sticking with 0-9.
Okay, and then you said no to the Saints and no to the Seahawks. All right. I say the Seahawks. I still say the Seahawks can – they might not necessarily win that division, but I could see them, you know, just like last year. Remember, what were they, 4-4, and then they finished 12-4?
Yeah.
So everyone was saying, like, wow, they're done, they're over. Boom, they rattle off 11 wins in a row or 10 wins in a row. And wait. They won 10 games in a row to go to the Super Bowl. All right.
Well, everyone
the audience
knows.
At home cannot see you using your fingers.
All right, we're done with Downs jokes. I can no longer do math after that Downs joke right there, which serves me right. Okay. All right, guys.
Everyone knows if the season ended now, those teams would not be in. Everyone knows.
You look like Captain Obvious tonight too. You dress like if I had to picture a Captain Obvious wearing something like this,
casual wear.
Yeah, the corduroy Denver Broncos hat, the some shade of pink collared shirt, and some kind of khakis from the 90s. All right. Conversely, guys, 9 teams are off to a 2-0 start. That somehow includes the Jets and the Cowboys. Which of these teams are for reals? And like Corey Feldman's existence, which teams are absolute jokes?
So I'm going to say none of these teams make the playoffs as well.
It's one and one
teams.
So it's only the 1-1 teams that will be.
Well,
that would leave
14. See, no Downs jokes. I'm back to the good math.
Go.
So that would leave.
Congratulations, Tommy.
That would leave 14 1-1 teams that are up for the playoffs. Wow, that's bold.
Yeah.
I think the Packers in that division are a shoo-in.
Yeah. Packers are playing good.
At 2-0, they're good. And the Falcons, Rakish picked the Falcons to win that division. I'm telling you. There's just something like if you watched the Falcons last year in the Vulcan Bowl.
In the Falcon Bowl.
If you watched the Falcons play last year, their head coach, Mike Smith, was like Eli Manning and Tom Coughlin last year. He cost them 4 games, and I think they finished – they were 6-9, and if they would have won that game last year, they would have gone to the postseason.
Yeah,
the
he made a couple it was crazy. Questionable calls down.
The Browns, against the Lions, and there were like 4 games that you can go back, and he was so bad at clock management, just like Goober Manning this year, and it cost him.
Mm-hmm.
So you still basically had that same team from a year ago, except maybe your running backs are a little younger, a little tougher, and you have a new coach that is like defensive-minded.
Yeah,
I actually like them there. I honestly think that the Packers, I like the Falcons. I think that the Cardinals 2-0.
Oh, if Carson Palmer stays healthy.
Well, he went down last year, and so did Stanton, and they still made the playoffs.
Yeah, because he was healthy for a long time. But I do want to point out that the Patriots are 2-0, and that Tom Brady's stats this year through 2 games are actually better than the first 2 games of 2007 when he set all
the undefeated season. Yeah,
yeah.
Wow.
Actually better stats. He has 1 more touchdown and more yards.
But we called that. We called it like it's,
well, yeah, everybody says he's motivated.
Fuck with him.
But
why
would
you do
that?
But
he's doing it kind of quietly because their defense takes a couple – they take a couple plays off every game and let the teams get back into them.
You should – right now we should all write letters to Jim Irsay and say, hey, thanks a lot, cocksucker. You and your drunk – you know, which Jim Irsay, am I the only one here? That guy is
– a fucktard.
He is. Fucktard, I think, is the best word possible. I think he's hammered most of the time. Like, he looks like he's just been out in the sun for 6 hours every time the NBC cameras show him.
And he's got $20,000 in his
trunk. He's walking around with pills. I think he's a junkie.
Yeah,
He's a rich junkie. He's a rich junkie.
Out and just did all – he doesn't give a shit.
He's got some fucking problems. Money's not one of them. I mean, it's hashtag rich people problems. But that guy's – he's an asshole.
He buys just too many designer drugs.
Yeah. All right, so you're going Patriots. I like that. I don't think the Jets are going to be there.
I don't think the Jets are for real either. I mean, they do have Kellen Winslow, who is a motherfucking soldier. But they also have Bilal Powell, who in 2 games has rushed 24 times for 100 yards, and he has 32 passing yards.
So not
receiving yards and no fumbles
and so not a bad so not a, not necessarily a bad pickup for Brian Ports and
yeah
the,
he's
and Team Monkey
sister fuckers
there, yeah.
Got about he has about maybe 1 point a game for
that's him. Right, that's right, about 14 points worth. You get if you get 1 point for every 10 yards rushing, or if you get 15 points or one point for every 15 yards.
No fumbles, Tommy.
No fumbles. All right, Bilal Powell.
Right.
Welcome back to the podcast, Bilal Powell. All right. And here's the other team that I think you should keep an eye on.
Welcome back. He never went anywhere.
They weren't the trendy pick this year. Remember, like in years past, we were like, the Bengals have it. Yeah. The Bengals have it. And in that division where everyone else seems to be beating the shit out of each other, and the Ravens aren't going to be good. They're just not. And it's
what about their Browns and their shitty Pop Warner uniforms?
Their schedule's easy enough to maybe get like 6 or 7 wins. But if the Steelers don't win that division, then I think the Bengals will. And I think that there's no pressure on them this year. They were a trendy Super Bowl pick 2 years ago. And even last year, people were like, hey, watch out for the Bengals. And then no one's talked about them at all this year. And they've actually taken care of business quite handily in both games.
Yeah, but Andy Dalton's a great regular season quarterback.
I wouldn't say great.
Season quarterback?
You'd probably say top 20 regular season quarterback.
he's pretty good.
He is. Nah, if you go back,
he's got a lot of wins in the regular season, man.
Well, it's not because of him.
Doesn't matter.
Well,
he gets the wins.
It's not because of him.
Well said.
You're welcome.
Sometimes. All right, guys.
What about the Broncos 2-0? Come on, you know.
We talked about this. Let me bring out the Broncos schedule right here.
I saw Peyton Manning throw darts, and the dart kept going below the dartboard.
What were you thinking when that game was going on Thursday?
That was really rough to watch, man.
We were texting him the whole time, like, hey, remember how Gary Kubiak was so awesome at Houston? So then Denver was like, hey, we got to get this guy. Wait a minute.
Don't forget, we picked up John Fox after he went 2-14 in Carolina.
And that seemed to work out really well.
Yeah, well, it got John Fox another job, man.
All right, so we were talking about like how there are some games that are pretty daunting for them. And those actually, Baltimore with Terrell Suggs was a pretty daunting defense to go up. They somehow found a way to win that game, even though Manning was pure dog shit.
Yeah.
They caused 5 turnovers against Kansas City Chiefs and pulled that one out of their ass. Yeah. So right there, I would have expected like a 1-1 start. Now they get Detroit, Minnesota, Oakland, and Cleveland.
Yeah.
So now,
lousy,
if you are
extra lousy,
if you are anything but 6-0 going into the bye week, that's a disappointment. But at the very worst, you got to figure 5-1 for the Broncos going into the bye week. Then they kind of hit Green Bay, Indianapolis, which might not be a tough game, and Kansas City. But otherwise, you have Oakland again. You have Chicago. I think they're better than San Diego.
But we got through.
They
so
play
we,
New England too.
You know, we got through KC at Arrowhead already. So
right.
That's like the start could have been. It could have easily been 0-2.
Right.
Especially as bad as the offense looked. Right. Like we had to make some miracle defensive plays to really bring it through. And that's really the point. Is the defense? You know, after a few years of the Denver defense is going to be better.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
It fucking is better
looks
now.
Good, man.
Yeah.
Guess how much – so you're at Detroit next week, and then Sunday, October 4th, you're at home against Minnesota. Guess how much the cheapest ticket is right now to the Broncos-Minnesota game in Denver?
$150.
Tishon?
$212.
$235. If you own a Denver Broncos ticket to the game against Minnesota, sell. For $235?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
The Green Bay, $309. I can see that, but Jesus Christ. The tickets to see Minnesota play, $235. Tickets for a home game against New England, $200.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Well, when's the Minnesota game?
Huh?
When's the Minnesota game? Next. That's why.
Yeah, well, it's the next home game for them, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it is a surging city as well.
Well,
lots of tech.
I mean, sell your tickets there, and they just load up on 2 beauties to the New England game. That's always going to be a dandy. Sunday night? Wow.
It's
embarrassing.
Cold. That one's in December, right?
Speaking of fucked up, guys, how fucked in the head is Cowboys owner / turd Jerry Jones? Jera.
His facelift was too tight.
Said that the new starting quarterback, Brandon Whedon, is a thing of beauty on throwing a football. He also said you won't see a more gifted passer. So, guys, when did edibles become legal in Texas? And here's the crazy thing. We were talking about this off mic. We were talking that you come out and you say something like that, and everybody's calling bullshit. Even his own kids are probably calling bullshit on that statement. I understand what he's trying to do. He's trying to put a lot
of
confidence.
Most of his statements.
Correct.
That guy talk?
But how can you do that? How can you come out and say something like that and ask people to like respect what you're saying?
I don't know.
Then 45 minutes later, breaking news, the Cowboys trade for Matt Cassel. So you're telling me that he is such a gifted passer that you're going to take like...
I think Joss Whedon is probably a better passer than Brandon Whedon.
You might be right on that. Let's see if we can get Rakish on some of these stats. Let's see. What else did he say? This quarterback Whedon can drive the ball down the downfield. He's a thing of beauty on throwing a football. His passing motion and his arm, frankly, you won't see a more gifted passer. Power, accuracy, the entire aspect of it. If he can basically prepare, be the starting quarterback, come in and execute and keep his head right, then I feel good about Whedon. And then 45 minutes later, they brought in Matt Cassel.
Well, I think that's sort of what he was saying is, you know, the game where you know, anything is funny if you put in bed at the end. And so this was his version of, like, in practice. So he's a thing of beauty throwing a football in practice. You won't see a more gifted passer in practice. I'm sure he looks, I think he looks probably really swell. Really swell throwing the football.
Well, maybe against the Eagles coaching or the Eagles defense there. He was like seven for 91.
That game was terrible. Can we just talk about how fucking bad that game was?
Oh, yeah, it was.
I've had the flu, and that was more joy than that shit.
That was bad entertainment.
That's
actually a point I would like to make is, you know, there's a lot of, you know, so much carrying on and concern over players getting injured in the preseason, which, mm-hmm. you know, it has happened. It is a proven thing. It sucks balls, you know, for the teams that lose important players.
Jordy, yep.
However, none of the motherfuckers are ready to play when the season comes because none of them actually, like, they're like, well, we did like four series and you're not ready to play then. You actually haven't played. It's not like you've had full contact, you know, during.
Yeah, well, the Dez Bryant injury is one thing, but the Tony Romo, I don't care how many snaps he took, that collarbone was going to crack.
I'm just saying over the overall quality of play.
Yeah, the product.
Team,
not
team
necessarily
sharpness,
injuries. Yeah.
Sharpness is like the fucking third string guys got way more time to play. They're probably readier to play. So these other guys going down is actually better for the team.
Might be something fantasy dork should take a look at next year. Go back to week one and find out like how many like number three and number four receivers were like the top receivers of the day, right? I'll have to go back. Rakish.
Look at James Jones, man. That guy was a garbage heap player.
He was. He's got everybody who goes to Oakland is. So Jerry says you won't see a more gifted passer. Of the 37 quarterbacks who have attempted at least 600 passes since Whedon was drafted by the pig shit awful Browns in 2012, only Geno Smith and Matt Cassel have a lower quarterback rating than Whedon's 73.4. So since 2012.
Well, that's good. No, he wanted to, Jerry wanted someone to push Whedon, clearly. So that was it. They're going to have a great little internal battle.
Let's get a guy who's worse. But just barely.
No, but it does. Barely. Well, then it really does. Forget about my in practice thing. Then it makes Whedon look good. So his statements, you know, ring true. Then he's just clever. He's clever, Jerry. He doesn't have $1 billion stadium for no reason.
Personally, I think he's been hitting Romo's bottles of Vicodin pretty hard this week. That's what it looks like to me. All right, guys, let's move on here in the hot mess. Happy times in Buffalo, guys.
Which are, I mean, that is a tough place to have happy times.
Oh, of course. I mean, you got to have it now. It's going to get colder than shit. There's going to be like 20 feet of snow on the ground by January. It's crazy there.
In about 3 hours, the weather will actually turn it's permanently unbelievable. Shitty.
There's going to be a ton of hand jobs.
So you never buy a house in Buffalo because sooner or later you're just going to get sick of it and you just want to get the hell out of there. It's like,
sick
you know,
of
just
it.
Fork over the $200 a month for rent instead of the $20,000 for a house. But the Bills have had two home games now against the Colts and against the Patriots. And at both tailgating spectacles, I guess you could call it, out in the Ralph Wilson Stadium parking lot. Week one, there were videos of guys doing like dizzy bat, and he's doing it right out in front of the buses. And he dizzy, and he stumbles and just face plants into the
bus.
It was awesome.
Hard too.
And then there was like, you know, guys passed out and like puddles of puke right in front of him. Just like, you know, typical shit. I'm sure it happens at every tailgate. But this week, some dude went on Craigslist after his adventure in the grass parking lot. This is what it said. Bill's tailgate, and it's a misconnection on Craigslist. You were tailgating in the grass lot during the Bills game. You had the most perfect ass in those light gray tight sweatpants.
I love those tight gray sweatpants.
I couldn't help but stare and pleasure myself while you played beer pong. I haven't been laid in a couple of years, and I couldn't help myself. I went into my truck, turned it around so my front window faced you, and started masturbating. You had an ass like a nectarine and knockers the size of grapefruits.
This guy loves fruit, man.
Yeah, he's...
Yeah, what does that mean?
It means he works at the fucking produce aisle Wegmans.
I've heard
an ass like a nectarine? Yeah. What does that mean? Just sweet? Just juicy? Looks like juicy ass?
Firm and pink.
I think there's some
pit in the middle.
Some doctors that mention, you know, eating the fruits he's describing are actually extremely good for your semen. So I think it's he's just bringing it all together. You know, it's just what he knows.
So then he continues. He says, "You are with a group of girls that drove a white Jeep Patriot.
Damn.
If you think this is you, I'd like to maybe have your hands around my knob for the next home game. And if it's not you, I'll probably still take a hand job."
I'll just take one. Well, good. Well, this guy.
Hey,
on.
Man, this guy is awesome.
I mean, hey, I'll give him. It's funny. I'll give him that. But if you're placing ads like this on Craigslist, it's probably going to be at least a couple more years until you get
this,
laid.
What is this
I
section?
I hope he finds his wife.
You don't know misconnections?
It's a misconnection.
Take over for me here while I bring up a couple of misconnections.
Well,
did you see
the other misconnection too?
Which
one? The
one
I sent you.
Was the one, wasn't it?
No, there was a different one.
Come on.
Where the girl, also at the Buffalo game, where the girl was like, you're the guy. It's like, my boyfriend got up to use the bathroom, and you put your hand on my leg, and I didn't know what to do because I have a boyfriend. So then I reached down your pants, and I started jerking you off.
This is great. Hold on.
That is a normal reaction.
You didn't see this one?
No.
There were two at the Buffalo game.
I just
Buffalo
saw...
loves fucking Craigslist, man. They are big on these unfinished website porn.
No, so I saw because at the end of it, it was tagged hand job, right?
Yeah.
All right. Yesterday at the Bills game. Let's zoom in here. I sat down next to you today at the game. I was with my boyfriend. When he went to get food and drinks, you put your hand on my leg. At first, I was weirded out, but that quickly passed. Instead of moving your hand, I let you touch my leg. I don't know why. I never did anything like this before, especially because I have a boyfriend. But I slid my hand down your pants. I was too nervous to make eye contact with you, though, so I don't really know what you look like. You didn't move my hand or freak out, so I grabbed your dick and gave you a hand job until you creamed your pants. And as soon as I felt your cream explode all over my hand, my boyfriend came back and sat down. I was so nervous because I had to act like nothing happened. I didn't see your face because I was looking down the whole time. Besides, you had that face paint on your face, and that was kind of cute. I'd kind of like to give you another hand job, but I got to make sure it's really you. So if you see this, tell me what color paint you wore. I would guess blue and red.
Yeah.
And if
Maybe
you wore any
white.
Underwear to prove it is you. Wow.
I mean, wow. They really get detailed on these.
I got to go to Buffalo, man.
What if it was a Patriots fan? Then would she be pissed?
Misconnection is like when you see somebody at when you see somebody at like you see someone at Target or something like that, and you're like, this third, and you go to Craigslist, you're like, misconnection, man for woman. You're like, I saw you in Target. You were buying paper towels.
Like right here, Taco Bell. You was taking orders at the counter of Taco Bell on 2nd Street in Santa Fe. Our eyes kept locking onto each other's, and I just wanted to say that you are very beautiful, and I hope you see this and get back to me. I would like to talk to you. This one is titled, You Farted in Trader Joe's. You were the tall brunette with the near-perfect body that farted in the bread section last night. I was the tall guy next to you that looked over and asked, was that you? You quickly replied, no, was it me? You almost seemed insulted I would ask. As the stink grew, you continued to deny your flatulence, but it was evident. I tried to get rid of the stench by waving two loaves of ciabatta bread.
See, I don't know. Like these just sound made up. They're too detailed.
He's not done. You proceeded to storm off in an angry manner. You are beautiful, and even if you are a liar and fart like a Clydesdale, I'd love to meet up sometime.
Nice people.
Other where titles are like accidentally swiped you the wrong way on Tinder.
I want you back.
To the redheaded MILF jogging in the park Sunday morning. Apologies.
Apologies. Oh man.
You got to check it out. I mean, like you said, I'm sure some of them are just funny guys and girls getting there and they're hammered and they write something down. It's great. Craigslist Misconnections. This Dudcast being brought to you by Craigslist Misconnections
and Bud Light Platinum.
These two guys really didn't hit it off. This is kind of a misconnection. Fat fuck Arkansas head coach Brett Bielema is being trolled by Texas Tech head coach Cliff Kingsbury. Say that eight times. Fat fuck Arkansas head coach Brett Bielema is being trolled by Texas Tech head coach Cliff Kingsbury. But to be fair, Bielema opened his pie hole for something other than eating first by taking a shot at Ohio State's non-conference schedule. So did you hear that? Did you see that? So he like takes a shot at it saying it's like easy. And there was a sign college game day at Alabama. That was a sign that said Ole Miss girls are easier than Ohio State's non-conference schedule. So he took a shot at Ohio State's non-conference schedule and then went out and lost to Toledo.
Yeah.
Like badly. And then he went out and he coached his team to a loss against Texas Tech. And before that, he had said that if Texas Tech doesn't play with a fullback, then they're going to get their asses kicked. So Cliff Kingsbury comes back and says, like, you know, it's great that he opened his mouth and now he's gotten his ass kicked twice in a row. And I think the score was like 35-24 or something. He won by 11. So Bielema comes back and he was just like, hey, you know, I'm glad he's happy about it. But, you know, I guess, you know, everyone's got a short memory because last year Arkansas won by 21 against them. So he's like, you know, if we got our asses kicked this year, then I'd like to see what last year was or, you know, what you would call last year.
Yeah, but he's like, but everyone is, what can you do for me?
Yeah,
lately?
But you know what? He was talking like a big fat fuck coach. Like where
he
like,
was. He is.
Because he was talking like, oh, grind it out, fullback football. You and your goofy
like,
ass,
no
you know.
Team. He's a team without a fullback.
You're not
going to
throw
it. They're
going
to get their ass kicked.
That's right. 80 passes a game, my ass, you know. And so that's what he was really like. There was nothing like demure or classy about how he approached.
Well, he's a classy guy.
He's
you ever seen him with his shirt on?
You ever see
class, buddy.
And then his wife with her tweet, hashtag karma.
Oh, really?
Yeah, against Wisconsin when they, remember how they got hosed against Arizona State last year like that? Because they weren't pleased with him the way he left. So she tweeted.
He did. He just upped and left and then going to Arkansas.
She tweeted hashtag karma.
Uh-huh.
And then she took it down like 20 minutes later, but everyone still knew about it. And then also, fucking even Rex Ryan's taking shots at the guy.
You're married to Brett Bielema. Just a disgusting slob.
Even Rex Ryan was taking shots at the guy, saying something during his press conference. They were trying to bait him into something about the Patriots. He was like, well, I'm not going to pull an Arkansas coach on this one.
Nah.
Fucking Rex Ryan. The worst.
Speaking of things being taken down, here's the final topic in today's hot mess. Syracuse University will no longer use the Kiss Cam at their sporting events, all because one loser named Steve Port wrote the university and asked them to stop doing it because it encouraged rape. I don't know if he had any stats behind that to show, like, you know, that 22% of the girls who appear on the Kiss Cam get raped. I don't.
Yeah, it's a little weird, but I hope they get rid of the rape cam.
That would be the one they should take down first.
They might want to get rid of the grope cam.
Yeah,
the expose yourself cam.
There's certainly some other cams that should come down first.
My favorite that they have gotten rid of already is called the stick your balls in somebody else's beer cam.
Yeah,
that sounds like a lot of fun.
It's a good cam.
That cameraman is actually
just don't do it in my blood. But like platinum
work actually. That
the kiss cam. Oh yeah, see Steve Port doesn't realize he's killing jobs. Now what's that guy gonna do?
He's going to operate the rape cam. You know, now he's moved on. He has like I have no choice. I was trying to keep it clean and wholesome, and now
the grape cam.
So since it's 2015, and one person bitched about it, so Syracuse took it down. So what's more embarrassing, that or the current state of Syracuse athletics?
Cuse is
they are starting their third string quarterback, and
their second string. He's actually like a crazy hoss. He was like amazing.
He
got hurt, I know. But
that crazy hoss.
Yeah. Well, I guess you're not much of a hoss if you get hurt in your second game, but they are 3-0. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
All right. So Steve Port said the next couple shown were again students that were clearly not a couple. Again, this second female in question shakes her head no. I then see no less than six sets of hands from the seats around her shove her unwilling face into his. Crowd cheers. The instances I witnessed at the game encourage and condone sexual assault and a sense of male entitlement at best, and they are an actual instance of assault at worst. No one has the right to forcefully touch someone, be it a hug, a kiss, or violent rape. I adamantly insist Syracuse University student government, the chancellor, and athletic director review what happened last weekend and seriously consider the ramifications of what they are encouraging.
He's not 100%
It's disgusting. Wrong. Steve Port from Manlius.
He's not wrong.
Yes, Manlius.
Manlius. Yeah.
How much of a loser are you if you're writing about the Kiss Cam?
Well, and part of the issue is we actually haven't had
the
that
Kiss
many.
Kiss Cam killed his father.
We had. Yes. His father was the former operator of the Kiss Cam.
He got mono from the Kiss Cam. Yeah, that's a tough one.
Kiss Cam killed my dad.
And no, it's really been hard work because the attendance has not been that strong for the Syracuse games. So
I bet you at least 4% of the people go to those games just to be on the Kiss Cam. It might be their only shot at something.
That could
some
be the
play.
Only accurate figure we've used thus far.
My father was killed by the Kiss Cam. Guys, speaking of killing...
Yeah.
It's time for everybody's favorite segment, except mine, The Pile.
The Pile.
Judge T'Shawn Phillips in-house. All of today's filth balls, all of today's felons will be represented by the distinguished Andy Ostroff.
Alleged felons.
Of course. Allegedly
distinguished.
Of course.
Oh, I thought we were going in a different direction with that.
All right, here we go. First up in the pile, TCU defensive end Mike Tuawa. Hey, he's probably from Hawaii. And Andre Pettis Wilson are accused of kicking and punching a student and then stealing his case of Keystone Light. Hmm. They're like $6, aren't they?
Per case?
So at least it's not going to be a felony, probably. For a case, 7. Andy Ostroff, defend your client.
Actually, this is just a big misunderstanding.
How many times have you started? Now, this is your last pile for at least this year. How many times have you started out your defense with that?
Maybe 99% of the time.
And it works, so don't change it up. Yeah. T'Shawn Phillips just loves your arguments.
Yeah. It is. I mean, what happened was the kid with the Keystone Light was incredibly drunk because he was working on his second case of Keystone Light. He fell, dropped the case on. That's 30 beers, man. That's heavy. That can cause a lot of bruising if it falls on your face. Fell on his face. Mike Tuau and Andres Pettis Wilson were just walking by, noticed that there was a case of Keystone Light sitting there, and they're at that age where they're like, well, you can't waste beer. It's just going to skunk if it sits out here in the hot Texas sun. Let's take it. And the kid woke up and was like, where's my fucking Keystone Light? Saw his friends drinking it and was like, these guys beat me up and took it. Feel bad for me. That's it.
I'm not a fan of this one.
No, I actually think this is a case of mistaken identity, as in they thought it was actually a case of better beer. And so, you know, I don't know if that really gets them off the hook. I say my punishment for the rest of their collegiate careers, they can only drink Keystone Light.
Oh, I like it. I think that's very fair.
Even on the field. In
that's
their
it.
Water
you
bottles.
Can't, no, don't think you're maturing and your taste buds are reflecting some sort of new fabulousness that you discover at the pub. Keystone Light only.
Guys, we're going to move on here in the pile. It's not very Christian lately here at TCU, Texas Christian University.
It's Texas non-Christian university.
Outfielder Connor Beck was found asleep behind the wheel of his pickup parked at a 7-Eleven at 5 a.m. When police knocked on the window to wake him up, he tried to take off and he hit a squad car. He then continued to resist arrest. And I'll tell you what, it's probably that kind of like persistence and no quit in him that helped him land a spot on the TCU baseball team.
Yeah.
Andy Ostroff, defend your client.
Well, you know something? I am not going to defend him here because he is trying to work at a career as a Major League Baseball player. And from this story, it sounds like he's ready for that.
He's well on his way.
That is. There's all
this
different
is very
brands of
major
career.
League baseball player.
Yeah, very, very different kinds
this
of career training.
Sign him up.
Yeah, it all
I will be also representing him as his agent.
Let's see.
Because I do have a law degree.
And he but it sounds like he got arrested, and I mean, I don't, you know, this shit happens, man. This feels a lot like Friday Night Lights. All these storylines feel like right out of that.
That's it? That's all he did?
I just don't find this that grave. I'm like, this should be expected, actually. So, I'm sorry, officer, but it doesn't seem like he was endangered. It was just just some shenanigans and, you know, anything around the 7-Eleven. I don't know.
Boys will be boys.
And I'll tell you what, yeah, Connor Beck.
Boys will be boys.
Just Connor Beck, baseball player at TCU. He sounds like he can afford a better defense than Andy Ostroff. I'll tell you that right there. He sounds like he's had people come to his defense before.
Right, that could be.
Like mom and dad, yeah.
Maybe.
Guys, this one is a tad more serious. This one isn't expected. Former Tampa Bay Rays minor leaguer Brandon Martin was arrested for murdering his father, uncle, and then an ADT security system installer. I don't know, he's trying to prove a point there. He looks rather happy about it, too, in his mugshot. Guys, Randy Ostroff, defend this guy.
It really doesn't look good for ADT here, does it? That house was not secure.
That was not secure.
And I'm willing to bet that it was an inside job from Brinks Home Security.
Ooh.
Trying to make ADT look bad.
Right.
Corner that market.
That was his name, his nickname in the minor leagues, too. Brandon Brinks Martin.
Yeah, there you go. So,
sounds like he's better at murdering people than he was at baseball, that's for sure. He only lasted a couple of years in the minor leagues.
It could actually.
But in the murdering leagues, he is a rising star.
California Penal League. Yeah. He's going to be the number one pick this year.
And what's good, too, is he left the women and children alone. So, you know. It's just,
and he didn't kill himself, you know. True hero.
But
true
but hero. I think he was able to maintain his disposition because of this. I like this notion that it's sort of it was an insider business kind of thing. And, you know, with the convoluted conspiracy, which I know that you're fond of, Tommy. So,
well, nonetheless, he's got to get at least 40 years.
Oh, yeah, give him 40 years, maybe even the chair. I don't know, but
oh, yeah, no, he's going to be put to death by executions. All right, moving on here in the pile, guys. Clayton Stoner, the Anaheim Ducks defenseman, arrested and charged, surprisingly, not for weed use, but for illegally hunting a grizzly bear in 2013. Up in Vancouver, they're slow. Or it was up in British Columbia. They're slow to prosecute here. That was 2 years ago. Clayton Stoner, Andy Ostroff, defend your client.
I think we all just need to relax here. It's not like he killed Cecil the Lion.
Oh, I like it. Good callback.
I believe this was the bear that was the logo for the NBA team, though. So it was kind of the same.
The Vancouver Grizzlies. The Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah, how many? Not many grizzly bears run around Memphis, right?
Yeah, not that many. No, not.
They could have been called the Memphis Bullets.
They should have adopted. Someone should be the Bullets. And the Bullets bringing it back around.
The Memphis.
They could have changed it from the Grizz to the Grills. Yeah. I mean, like gold teeth, like that shit.
That would have been more apropos.
All right, what are we doing to Stoner?
Stoner, let's
stone
see.
Him.
I think it should be he gets hunted for a day.
Like Ice-T and surviving the game.
Right, right. So, there's a precedent for this, clearly.
Or what about, putting him out in the middle of the woods and then, you open up the cage of a grizzly bear. He gets no gun or anything like that. He's got to make it out of the woods. If you make it out, you're innocent. It's almost like a trial
a
by
a hungry grizzly bear. Yeah. Right. And he's got sausages strapped to him.
That's really karma at work right there. Like, if you get out, I'm all for that.
Karma works at the strip club.
He's like that deodorant commercial with Kurt Zippel in it where he's got he's got steaks on him. He's got a jacket of steaks.
Yeah, so either he gets hunted by humans or bears, but this has to happen.
I like it. All right, last item up for discussion here in the pile. Two Purdue football players, Evan Cooper and David Rose, arrested for stealing bikes on campus. Can these guys not get anything?
No, they can't get
anything.
Even
give, how do you not give a football player a free bike? You're giving them fucking free cars, right? How do you not give them bikes? Who's stealing a bike? I bet you the players at Indiana get bikes. Purdue, is that how far the Purdue football program has fallen that you can't even get your players bikes?
They get basketballs at Indiana. I mean, that's just it. I don't know, man. I don't know what to say about these
Andy
guys.
Ostroff.
You know what? Fuck it. David Rose, innocent. Let's just prosecute Evan Cooper because he spells his name weird.
I like it, yeah.
Oh, E-V-Y-N. Pick on the one guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I agree. Rose, you have to work in the cafeteria for 2 months.
Yeah, Evan Cooper,
Evan Cooper, you go in the slammer, my friend. terrible name.
You have to transfer to Bowling Green.
Evan right. E-V-Y-N. No,
ladies and gentlemen, the final segment of today's Dudcast is my favorite segment. It's time for Fact or Fudge.
Fact or Fudge.
Gentlemen, very topical Fact or Fudge here. We didn't mention anything about baseball tonight, and for the most part, it's because you two don't know shit about it. But Houston still has a baseball team, believe it or not, the Houston Astros. And Houston's Carlos Correa, when he hits his next home run, it's going to be number 20 on the season. And he didn't start playing until like the end of May, beginning of June. So he will be the third rookie, along with Chris Bryant and Jock Peterson, to hit at least 20 home runs this year. And
didn't Jock Peterson hit them all before the All-Star break, though?
Yeah, he hit like the majority of them. He's been pure dog shit since.
He just strikes out every time.
We got all worn out doing the home run derby. Didn't
correct. Yeah, he was a casualty there.
He took all his swings then, and he's done.
So you do know something about baseball. I'm glad to see that. Well, at the same time,
I surprised you, Tommy,
that these rookies are hitting at least 20 home runs this year. At the same time, the Pope is in America.
Whoa!
So that means tonight's Fact or Fudge question is. Is this the name of a guy who hit at least 20 home runs in his rookie campaign, or the name of a priest who molested a kid?
Ah, cool.
Or kids. Okay.
Probably kids. None of them stopped at one.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's a slippery slope. It's eventually going to go anywhere.
It's like potato chips, you know.
Okay. Now, bet you can't eat just one. What is that, Jay's?
Once you pop, you can't stop.
Fathers. All right. I'll believe it. That's a good one, T-Shawn. That one's not getting edited out for sure. All right, here we go, guys. Who's the defending champion here?
I think I am.
I do believe so, yeah.
I mean, I would say that anyway, but I do think that's true.
Yeah. I do think you pulled this one out at the end. Literally. Remember about your pullouts, guys. Here we go. T-Shawn, is this the name of a guy who hit at least 20 home runs in his rookie campaign?
This is all time. All rookies.
Oh, yeah, ever. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
I got a question. Are the priest's names going to start with Father? Because that would give it away.
Father Bob Allison.
Baseball player. Baseball player, definitely.
All right, so is it the name of a guy who hit at least 20 home runs in his rookie campaign, or the name of a priest who molested children?
There's got to be a baseball player named like Father.
Bob Allison. Bob Allison.
Bob Allison. Father Robbie. Bob Allison was a baseball player.
That is correct.
Yeah. Ooh, good.
He was on the 1959 Senators. Washington Senators. The old Washington team. you're the oldest one in here, so
he's still rooting for him.
So T-Shaw, nice, way to go. He was a baseball player. Yep. Andrew Ostroff.
Yes.
Did this guy hit 20 home runs in his rookie campaign, or is he a priest who molested children?
Is there a both?
There is no both.
Can I still answer both?
You definitely can. I'm not going to hold it against you.
All right.
Would
I be wrong, or would I get it right?
All right, here we go. The next name up is Andrew Anderson.
Oh. That's an athlete's name.
Andy Anderson.
Yeah.
20 home runs in his rookie campaign, or a priest who molested children? Andrew Anderson.
I'm going to go with baseball.
That is incorrect.
God damn it.
Incorrect.
This is not fair because I'm Jewish.
And this guy's middle name was Andrew Christian Anderson.
Oh, God, if you had told me that.
He was convicted in 1986 of 26 counts of felony molestation
of four boys. Oh, I should have known. He's on my fantasy priest rape team.
Sentenced to 5 years probation after treatment at Servants of...
Dude won me the championship 3 years ago.
And so while he was getting therapy, so he was sentenced to 5 years in probation. And then while he was getting therapy, he continued to molest boys. He was arrested in New Mexico in 1990 for abuse of another youth, sentenced to 6 years in prison for violating California's probation. He was lay-sized in the mid-1990s.
LASIK? He got eye surgery? I don't know how that helped him.
His current whereabouts are unknown. I would say Toys R Us. But Andy, you got that one wrong, buddy. You got that one wrong.
Damn it.
Yeah.
T-Sean, is this the name of a baseball player who had 20 home runs in his rookie campaign or the name of a priest who molested children? Thomas Ahern.
Say the last name again.
Ahern. A-H-E-A-R-N. Ahern. Thomas Ahern.
Is there an apostrophe in there?
No, anywhere? There is no. No, no. Ahern. Ahern.
Thomas. That's a priest.
That is correct. I think if he was in baseball, he would have been Tommy. Right?
Tommy Ahern.
Here it is. Oh, there was a Richard Ahern that did it as well. All right. Thomas Ahern was arrested in January 1993 and charged with molesting a 14-year-old boy he was picking up while he was on a skiing vacation. Jesus.
Naturally.
He died in 1997. Sick fuck. All right. Way to go, T-Sean. You know your baseball players and sick fuck priests. That's priests. Two for T-Sean.
He's just a fan of priests.
Remember... Thomas Ahern, that's the one that got me. Well, indubitably, he did have a middle finger. All right. Dick Allen.
Oh, he's trying to get you with this one.
This is a trick question.
Yeah, he's trying to get you.
I'll go with baseball player.
That is correct.
Yes.
Dick Allen is a baseball player. I thought the name might have threw you off. He hit 29 home runs for the 1964 Phillies, believe it or not. So Andy's on the board. It's 2-1. Tight game. Real tight game.
Is that? Are you implying something?
Yes, I am. I am. Yes. At least 20 home runs in his rookie campaign or the name of a priest who molested children. Robert Allgaier. Robert
could this be
Allgaier. A-L-L-G-A-I-E-R.
Could this be one of the children?
Robert Allgaier.
Allgaier.
Allgaier. Bobby Allgaier.
I think it's a baseball player.
That is incorrect.
I was going to say priest.
I thought that the name would imply it, right?
He thinks it was a trick, like Dick.
So get this. So the Archbishop knew of the allegation against Allgaier of child pornography in 2001, but reassigned him to the middle school, which is like the jackpot. You like promoted him. Right? So he was only removed in 2002, just prior to charges being filed. He pleaded guilty to attempted possession of child pornography for using computers to view internet photos of children involved in sex acts. Sentenced to 2 years probation. Finally left the priesthood in 2005. So now he's doing this shit publicly. It's great.
I think he's a guidance counselor now. Yeah. Allgaier.
Russell Appleby.
Baseball.
That is incorrect.
Damn it,
Russell Appleby is also a kid fucker. I thought that the Stuart Appleby of golf would kind of throw you off a little bit, and apparently I was right. Russell Appleby. Here he is. Also known as Gerald Russell Appleby. In 1994, a young man accused Appleby of molestation over a two-year period. Appleby left St. Petersburg in 1979, blah, 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 had to pay a bunch of stuff, pleaded guilty in 2004 to this shit and sentenced to 12 years in prison. He died in 2005 in prison.
Did you know Jared from Subway?
Are you on some weird wiki priestia?
I'm shit out of luck with the government here. This has been up for like fucking 3 hours too, ready to go.
Dude, you are being
I'm in trouble.
You are being
what is this
reset?
Right,
reset.
What
reset
is this,
Safari.
This website like? Rapingpriest.com.
Bishop-accountability.org.
Ah, yes. Dot org.
How did? Wow. All right. Yeah, you're in trouble, bud.
2-1. Yeah, I'm. better not go to any naughty sites tomorrow myself. All right, here we go. Ruben Abaya. Ruben Abaya.
It's a tricky one. Again, he's going Spanish on you here. And so.
So it's like, oh, that he's got to be a baseball player, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there are probably Spanish priests as well.
What?
There probably are.
What?
I'm going to go out on a limb.
Spain?
Like the Pope?
I don't get it.
Dynamite dropping, guys. Ruben Abaya. This is on you, T-Sean.
No. Isn't it yours?
No, I got the last one wrong.
It's 2-1, Tyshawn over Andy.
Oh, shit.
Dynamite game of Factor Fudge. Factor Fudge, guys, at least 20 home runs in his rookie
Tommy's
campaign.
Tommy's like, this Factor Fudge is topical.
It is.
He was so proud of himself when I got here. He's like, oh, dude, the Factor Fudge is so topical.
That's great.
All right, Ruben Abaya.
Ruben Abaya.
Ruben. 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 Abaya.
I think Ruben is a baseball player.
That is incorrect. He's he's an alleged kid
Latin.
Fucker. Yeah.
Yeah. He treats you with the Latin.
Fuck.
He was part of. Is. He was part of a group of six other Filipino priests in Los Angeles, who seduced a 16-year-old girl, and it wasn't Abaya. Another one of the priests there knocked her up. She followed through. Real nice guys here. Hey, great news for you, though.
Yeah.
That's shitty news for that girl, but great news for you. That's another one wrong for Tyshawn. So if you get this one right, you tie it up.
Oh, man.
Factor Fudge, is this the name of a guy who hit at least 20 home runs in his rookie campaign or the name of a priest who molested kids? Jim Hart.
Both. Jim Hart. That's baseball.
That is a baseball player. That is correct. Jim Hart,
it's time,
at least
man.
20 home runs in his rookie campaign.
That's wrestling, man. The mouth
Jimmy
of the
Hart?
South. Yeah, man.
Jimmy Hart? No, Jim Hart was also a baseball player.
And a kid fucker. It was both.
He did it all.
Got everything in the line. Molesting baseball players on this list?
Jim Hart. Let's see here. Who did he play for? Jim Hart. He hit home runs. There it is. Jim Ray Hart, 1964 Giants. He hit 31 home runs. So it's tied 2-2. Neither guy has used their pullout yet. Here we go. Luke Easter.
Ooh, Easter.
You didn't go to that site, did you?
Luke Easter.
It's Luke actually Lou Keister.
Well, Luke, that sounds like a different guy.
Yeah. Lou Keister. Or Luke Easter.
Luke.
Luke Easter? Luke Easter.
Last name is spelled like the holiday.
What?
Like the religious holiday.
Yeah, I'm going baseball.
That is correct. Ooh. Luke Easter hit 29 home runs. 28 home runs for the 1950 Cleveland Indians.
I am good with the 50s baseball.
What about Luke Easter?
That's my sweet spot.
All right, guys, here we go. This is big right here. You get this right. You win. Yeah, it's a tie, and we go to the tiebreaker. If you get it wrong, you lose.
I am the greatest.
Ooh. Keep in mind, it's your final game of Factor Fudge, maybe. Most likely for 2015.
I'm ready to be a champion.
Who knows? I will be playing this with somebody else.
Walt, Walt Droppo.
Walt Droppo.
Walt Droppo. 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 Walt Droppo.
Walt Droppo. Priest.
That is incorrect.
God damn it, Droppo.
Oh Walt Droppo. Droppo.
Man, maybe if you could pronounce the name
right. He hit a bunch. He hit 34 home runs for the Red Sox, nonetheless, in 1950. God, what a way to go out. God, that's got to chat your ass something fierce.
1950s Red Sox.
As I was saying, that's my strong
not like
suit.
Not like it was a priest or anything like that, but just knowing that he played for the Red Sox, that just has to fucking finger you some kind of weird way, doesn't it?
No, that's what Walt Droppo did when he was a priest. Finger me a weird way.
Guys, make sure you check us out every day on the Daily Upper Decker, dailyupperdecker.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. And, of course, you can find us on Vine as well. Andy Ostroff, send us off, baby.
Thanks, guys.
That's it? That's your last one?
That was kind of...
Thanks, guys.
It was creepier than just a normal whisper.
That too could have been something
thanks.
The priest said.
I had a lot of fun. I like this. I'm going to miss it. I'll see you guys later.
We'll get out to New York. We'll get out there to see you, buddy.
Yeah, get out there. We'll meet some priests.
All right, Andy Ostroff. You can find him on Twitter at his name is Andy.
Mm-hmm.
At his name is Andy.
Also Instagram, same thing.
Instagram, nice. It wasn't taken on Instagram.
Nope, nobody took that.
No one tried to like. No one bought it and like tried to like charge you like $2,000 for it.
Nope.
Yeah. All right. Well, good for you, buddy. It's been a pleasure having you on here. I'm still going to probably go to sleep tonight and fuck my wife, but I'm just going to be sad about it.
Okay.
The Daily Upper Decker. Nothing but sports and crap.